His hand is getting tired. Come on.
Please turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. We'll look at most of the verses here in this chapter, 2 Timothy chapter 4. I want to look at the value of serving, value of the privilege of serving. When it comes to placing value on things, often it is determined, their value is determined by how scarce they are. Tangible items, I guess we can talk about, but maybe further. So you have gold, silver, precious stones are very valuable because they're not found in great abundance, comparatively. So there is value placed on them. You think of antiques, they're valuable because in a world where most things are in the process of decay, eventually these items, whether it's furniture or what have you, eventually they will wear out and they will be thrown away, but if some of them, a few of them, happen to be cared for and looked after, they eventually will still exist in somewhat good form, but there won't be very many of them. There will be very few. So they become valuable. Their actual use might not be anything except for to put them in your house or put them on a shelf and look at them and just know that they're old and scarce, but at the same time, they have a lot of value. So when an item stays around a lot longer than expected, it becomes valuable. So when something is scarce or hard to get, it becomes valuable. But for the spiritual person, placing value on something should be done in an entirely different way. We should place value on those things that are spiritual in nature, not earthly treasures. For example, having the privilege to humbly serve our God should hold great value for us. And this is certainly not something the world would see as valuable. They want nothing to do with it. However, it is scarce for those outside of Christ. In fact, they can never have the opportunity to truly serve and in humility serve Christ with the right motivation, because they have no desire to do it, nor could they do it. I'm sure that serving Christ would not bring any great value at the Antiques Roadshow, but it is a treasure available for God's children every day. So for us, it is not something that should be scarce. It is something that's available every day, but at the same time, we should place great value on it. So our question this morning is, do we do that? Do we see the privilege of serving our God, humbly serving our God, as something that's very valuable? We can easily answer that by just thinking about our service. If we do have service, if it's something that we enjoy doing or something we do out of a feeling of obligation to ease our own guilt or what have you. But we'll look at that this morning. To place value on the privilege of serving in humility while preparing others to do the same. And we'll also look at the second part of that, preparing others to do the same. Obviously, the Apostle Paul saw it as a great privilege to serve God. And we see it because of a few things, one of them being that he endured a lot of things. And if it wasn't something valuable to him, he would have left it by the wayside many, many times. He saw it as valuable, and he was preparing Timothy to place the right value on this privilege as well. So again, place value on the privilege of serving in humility while preparing others to do the same. Let's look at a few points in this chapter of 2 Timothy chapter 4. And the first one is this: minister the word consistently and carefully. As we talk about serving and humility and how it is to be done, we need to minister the word consistently and carefully. So starting with verse 1, it says, "In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing in his kingdom, I give you this charge, preach the word." So here's Paul writing to Timothy, of course, and telling him about this ministry, this service. So in a solemn charge, Paul makes it clear to Timothy that his ministry of the word of God was not to be a passive one. Notice that verse that we just read. Some certain things are being done here. The preface of the charge was that of being witnessed by the Father and the Son. He says, in the presence of God and Christ Jesus will judge the living and the dead. So he is preparing Timothy for something very important here that he's getting ready to say or write. The importance of what he was about to say cannot be mistaken. He also adds this, in view of his appearing and his kingdom. So he's building up to something. I think Paul is doing this on purpose. It's obvious. He wants it to be that way, that there's a grand announcement. There's something important, Timothy, that I'm going to tell you. The announcement or the charge is to preach the word. So again, in the presence of God and Christ and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. So he really builds it up and says, Timothy, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Preach the word. Now, how he is to do this is discussed in the following verses, but we should take notice of the charge itself first. The word preach is different than teach, although the two have much in common. To preach, caruso, is to proclaim or herald. Now, when you preach, you certainly teach as well, I'm sure, but he uses this word to give the message of to Timothy. You need to be a herald. You need to proclaim it. And it had especially to do with divine truth. It's important to note, because Timothy was to be very proactive in his ministry of the word. Paul has told him many times now about this word and this truth. And of course the gospel as well, I'm sure, and what he was to do with it. And earlier Paul told him that he was not given a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline. So he was not to step back and stand back and wait. He was to proclaim, he was to herald. He was to do it with confidence, not with a spirit of timidity. Now Timothy, I'm sure, had seen this done a lot by Paul. Paul was not, as we read about him in the New Testament, was not one to sit back and wait for someone to approach him. He was going to the people always with the gospel and with the truth. He was encouraging and he was challenging with the word of God. And so you must have seen Paul's boldness on several occasions. You must have seen Paul's zeal as he shared the gospel in the face of great danger. So he says, preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. These are great directions for us and ways that tell us how we're supposed to do this. So, when Paul says he is to be prepared in season and out of season, he's saying there's no time when preaching the word is inappropriate. You need to be prepared with that word to proclaim it, to herald it, and to let people know what the truth is. So that's his charge to them. As we continue to look at verse 2, Paul shows him that there will always be a need to correct, rebuke, and encourage. So again, this is a charge to Timothy to where he is very involved in other people's lives with the ministry of the word. And he needed to be proactive. But it also says that he needs to be careful. Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. So let's not miss these things. This is training for us at the same time and how we need to present God's word as well. In season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. So when people need to be corrected, Christians who were in error, who were going astray, needed Timothy's help. Paul knew this. Paul was very much involved in this. We think of 1 Corinthians and other believers that Paul needed to correct in what they were doing. But he's telling Timothy that he needed to administer the word patiently. Additionally, he was to be careful as he applied the ministry of the word of the word to people's lives. So Paul tells him to do this with careful instruction. Careful and with patience. This is a reminder for Timothy, as Paul had previously told him in 2 Timothy 2:15, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Now, you probably remember, this is, I believe, our third message in this book, in this letter. And throughout, Paul is always emphasizing the word and the truth and telling Timothy, you are going to go on to do this work. And we'll look a little bit later at how Paul prepares people for this. It's very important to him that things are done correctly. This is the word of God. And to do it correctly and to do it in the right way was very important to him. The servant of God who wants to minister the word of God must be careful to use it correctly. In our day and age, and all the information that we can see in so many avenues, we see that there's much false teaching out there today. In the church, it's causing a lot of damage. Partly, this is a result of people not being careful and correctly handling the word of truth. And not thinking about or truly researching the information that they are teaching or preaching. And it does cause much damage in the body of Christ. A humble servant is one who will put his or her desires aside so that they can be the person who does not need to be ashamed but correctly handles the word of truth. And we need to think about that. If someone was depending on us to help them understand God's word, how prepared are we to do that? How prepared are we to do that? Would we be able to do that effectively in their lives? Would we be worried that we don't have a command on the Word of God to the point where we could, with confidence, help that person with whatever issue that they're going through? Well, if that's our case, then we need to start looking at the effort that we're putting into God's Word, knowing it and being able to handle it correctly. Remember, our main idea here is to place value on the privilege of serving in humility. And we humbled ourselves to the point where we say, these things that are taking my time are not nearly as valuable as the privilege of serving God. And part of that privilege is to preach and teach that word. Do we want to be the person who correctly handles the word of truth? Do we value the privilege of serving God to the point where we say, I'm going to make some sacrifices. I'm going to be able to handle this book. I'm going to be able to handle this word. So that I can encourage and that I can correct and I can rebuke when necessary. Place value on the privilege of serving in humility while preparing others to do the same. If we truly see something as a privilege, then we will want to do it well. We will work hard and stick with it. Our second point, let your service be characterized by hard work and endurance. So we have verse 3. We'll start here. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. So Paul says, Timothy, preach the word. He's already told him that you need to be able to handle it correctly. Make sure you're a person that can handle it correctly. Be ready in season and out of season. Be able to use that word to correct people, to rebuke, and to encourage when it is appropriate. But do it patiently. Do it in the right way. Because, verse 3, the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship. And there we see that word endure again throughout this letter. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. Timothy is forewarned by Paul that there will be a time coming when his ministry, his desire to use the Word of God for the well-being of others will not be appreciated and will fall on deaf ears. The sound doctrine that he has been encouraged to use to correct, rebuke, and encourage will not be tolerated. Paul knows this from experience, by the way. Instead, those who need to hear the truth will look to others to teach them what they want to hear. And that happens. They will gather a large number of teachers around them, and in doing so, increase their odds of someone saying what they want to hear. You go to enough people, you will eventually hear what you want to hear. If there's something in Scripture that you don't like, or something that you've been counseled not to do because of Scripture, you can go somewhere, if you look hard enough, to find somebody to tell you what your itching ears want to hear. And it happens. So, Paul's telling Timothy, you need to be ready for that. Make sure you are never the one, you're never one of those people. And I'm talking to all of us now, not what Paul's saying to Timothy. I'm talking to all of us. We need to make sure that we are not those people, people with itching ears. Those who bounce around to whomever and wherever until they get to hear what they want will be weak in the Word and will be of little use to others in their time of need. There's no value placed on Scripture. But when these times come, Paul tells Timothy that he is not to be discouraged or swayed by them. He is to stay alert and keep his head. We consistently teach truth to those who want to hear something else, it won't be long before there is some sort of hardship for you. People saying things about you, people accusing you of different things, people accusing you of not caring. The list goes on and on. And they'll make accusations about you, even though you are trying to teach the Word. So Paul says, when this happens, keep your head. Don't be affected by this. They will turn their ears away from the truth, turn aside the myths. But you keep your head in all situations. Endure that hardship. Endure that hardship. If we are going to stand on the Word of God, there will be hardship at times for that. Not only from those outside of Christ, but unfortunately sometimes those within the body. But Paul says, stay alert. Keep your head. You're going to run into these things. So Timothy was to endure that hardship and do the work of the evangelist. The truth was to go on being preached. The trials that he was going to face by preaching the Word of God, enduring that hardship, were not to change the work habits. And Timothy was to discharge all of his duties. Continue with the work. Work hard. Endure. Opposition is going to come. Keep your head. Don't let your circumstances sway you. We're going to read about at least one person where that happened in just a few moments. So Paul tells him to continue his work and not be swayed, not to be deterred from doing the works. Paul said earlier in this letter, chapter 3, verses 10 and 11, you, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings. What kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra? The persecutions I endured, yet the Lord rescued me from them all. A humble servant does not need ease of life in his or her service because it is seen by them as a privilege to serve their master. Do you see service as a privilege? If we do, we will have a better chance of enduring when we face opposition. The one who suffered far more than we can ever imagine provided us with life far more abundant than we can ever imagine. That's our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Be prepared to work hard and endure hardship. Let this be what characterizes your ministry. Place value on the privilege of serving in humility while preparing others to do the same. take great care with our ministry of the Word, working hard while enduring difficulties, that will bring us joy one day when we look back at our service for our Savior. So our third point, look back on a life that was complete and not wasted. In this passage, these verses are not Paul's opportunity to talk about how wonderful he was, but again, he is preparing Timothy for this work that he is about to, well, he's already been involved somewhat, but to, in a sense, be one of the people that takes the torch from Paul. So verse 6, he says, "For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure." We've talked several times about this. Paul knows his time has come to leave. "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing." So Paul says, "For I have done the following things." He's reminded Timothy of the importance of him carrying on the work, because it's time for him to leave. Paul could say with confidence that his life was not a wasted life. After he was saved from his sin, life was completely given over to the service of Christ. Do you think he placed value on the privilege of serving God? I think he did. So he says he has fought the good fight. He did not sit in the stands and watch as others fought, but he himself fought. He fought the fight that was worth fighting. The good fight. He says he finished the race as well. This statement reinforces that what he was just challenging Timothy with in regards to endurance. As one who was close to the end of his life, looking back on what he had done, he could say he finished. He did not give up or give less than his best. So he says, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." So his third statement was that he kept the faith. There was much hardship and trials in his life. That was a direct result of his faith. I think we would all agree on that. It's clear in what we read about him in Scripture. And humanly speaking, had he just kept the status quo of being a hypocritical Pharisee, his life would have been much less eventful in the aspect of not facing trials, not having to endure difficulties. Had he stayed right where he was, where he was saved in that life, he would have been someone who would have been received many accolades and praised by other people. Easy life. A life that many people want. But he didn't. God changed all that. God had other plans for him. We read in Acts chapter 9, verses 15 and 16, "But the Lord said to Ananias, 'Go. This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name.'" Saying that he had kept the faith is his own commentary on the fact that he was faithful to his God, the Word, and the work that God had for him. And amidst all the hardships he faced, he remained faithful and humble as well. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 16 through 18. "Therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all." This has always been an amazing statement by Paul, because we know what he is referring to as his light and momentary troubles. We don't think of those things as light and momentary, do we? We look at what Paul went through in his effort to keep the faith and run the race, fight the good fight, and finish that race, and we say, those are almost insurmountable. But for the person who places value on the privilege of serving, that puts his mind and his heart in kind of a different place. Light and momentary. "For light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all." He was so focused on on his life with Christ and the glory of, in that life and the joy in that life. He says it far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes on, not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. There's the focus. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Paul made choices. He chose to see his service as a privilege. And because it was a privilege to him, all these difficult trials that he faced, that he endured, that was God's plan for him, he saw as light and momentary. We regularly make choices to make our lives easier, or to endure hardship and trial for the faith. The easy life is not hard to accomplish. We just continue to take the road of least resistance. Resistance here, let me veer left. Resistance here, let me veer right. We could do that all the time. Sometimes Christians do. But that person looks back on a life and has regret. There's no doubt that Paul wanted Timothy to be able to look back on his life and be able to say, I fought the good fight, I finished the race, I have kept the faith. Will you and I be able to do the same? If we place value on the privilege of serving in humility while preparing others to do the same, we will. Well, we've yet to address this preparation of others, so let's go ahead and do that now. We have the privilege of serving our great God, but we need to be preparing others to do the same. We have had other people help us with our serving, right? We could all probably talk about all the people in our lives that have equipped us in the Word so that we can in turn try to equip other people in the Word. People who have been examples, like Paul was to Timothy, of a servant that endured hardships. We have those examples in our lives, but who would say that about you and I? So other people have helped us with our serving. We need to be conscious of this, as the Apostle Paul was with many that he prepared. So finally, our fourth point, prepare others to serve in turn. 2 Timothy 2, 1 and 2, we looked at this, says, you then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. So here's the idea. Here's Paul telling Timothy, you've heard teaching from me. I'm preparing you. You need to teach others so that they too can teach. So Paul was training Timothy to pass on the truth and challenge to serve others as well. And this was clearly Paul's strategy, as he traveled to equip and train others to carry out the work of spreading the message of the cross and the truth of Scripture. So in these following verses that we're going to look at, we see how many others were involved in the work at Paul's direction, and how he thought out how he wanted to get the word out through those he had prepared for service. So verse 9 says, do your best to come to me quickly. And we, you know, just as a quick aside, again, Paul keeps saying that my time here is done. I'm going to be with the Lord, not in so many words. So he says to Timothy, do your best to come quickly. To my knowledge, we don't have any information that tells us that Timothy got to see Paul again after this letter was written. Perhaps there is information for us. I'm not aware of it. But he says, do your best to come to me quickly. For Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica. So verse 9 begins with the report of, rather verse 10 I should say, of one person that Paul most likely was helping and preparing for ministry, but was deserting him. Demas' love for the world had drawn him to Thessalonica. What was there for him, we don't know exactly, but some negative worldly attraction, and there he went. It's not where Paul wanted him to be. Physically, probably, and also spiritually. And Paul may have mentioned him as a warning for Timothy of what can happen when we love the world. But moving on past that, we see Paul involving others in the work, moving people around and developing them as servants. So he says, after after he deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia and Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, because he is helpful to me in my ministry. I sent Tychicus to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas, and my scrolls, especially the parchments. So we see here Paul is moving people around, these people that have worked with him, these people that he has prepared to serve and to teach and to preach, I'm sure. So part of Paul's service was to prepare others in turn. So he talks about all these different people, where they're going, where he's sending them. Later in verse 20, we see more of Paul managing those whom he was training, preparing for future services. Actually, verse 20, let's go ahead and look at it. Erastus stayed in Corinth, and I left Trophimus sick in Miletus. So again, there's more people that he's saying, this person is going here, and I told this person to go there. All these people, he's sending them out to different places. He has them involved in reaching other people with God's Word. So Paul understood the importance of training others to do the work, to partake in the privilege of serving God. His desire was that the Word be preached, taught, understood, and obeyed. He worked hard at preparing others to carry out this ministry and privilege. Our desire for others to hear the Word, understand it, and obey can be measured in part by how hard we are working to prepare others for the work. And I'll go back just to reiterate, in order to be able to do that, you and I have to be in the Word enough so that we can be effective in correcting, encouraging, rebuking with great patience and handling the Word of God correctly. If we place value on the privilege of serving, we will do that. If we place value on the privilege of serving in humility, we will want to prepare others to do the same. Place value on this, on the privilege of serving in humility while preparing others to do the same. Let's pray. Our gracious God, we have your wonderful word that you have preserved for us. Your word that tells us of life, that encourages us, that tells us of your will. It tells us of the beautiful gospel, word that changes people's lives. Your word that helps us to live in the way that you have called us to live, in holiness. Again, we would ask for wisdom to make the choices that need to be made, to understand it, study, to be able to handle it correctly so that we can have great influence in the lives of others, so that they too can teach and preach and correct patiently and correctly. We thank you for it. We thank you for the wonderful privilege of serving you. Help us to place a great value upon it. We ask this in Christ's name.